Don't you ever get tired? Tired of constantly getting the red carpet treatment?
Good evening.
Tired of having all your worries taken care of and knowing that there's a place reserved for you?
Right this way, sir.
Of course you don't. That's why you join PokerStars. After all, our VIP club awards over $3.6 million worth of major on- and offline tournament entries every month. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out more about why other reward schemes just don't open as many doors. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's July 17th, 2009, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. I am the November 10th. I'm that guy in the stands cheering for all the November 9.
You wish you were the 10th man. That's some serious cash there.
But you know, I don't normally follow this stuff closely. I mean, obviously, we've had some Floridians playing this year that went real deep, and we'll mention one of them that actually made their number 9. But, you know, I was up until about 9 a.m. last night waiting for Apes to end. And in between watching stud 8 hands and people going all in and splitting pots, you know, for 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
I was checking the World Series, and I think about the same time we were watching when we actually got down to November 9. So 6,400 people, we're down to 9. They're all coming back in November, and a couple names that people know.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing final table, really. I mean, my God, Phil Ivey. Is there, other than Lissandro, is there anybody hotter in poker right now?
And then Jeff Shulman from Card Player. And there was a couple comments last night during Apes about whether you and I will be disappointed that a fellow publisher made it to the November 9 before we did. And my response was, I'm disappointed that I don't have Jeff Shulman's money, in which case I would actually have had a shot at getting in and make it to the November 9. So, but congratulations to him as well. And, of course, our lone Floridian left, Kevin Schaffel from Coral Springs. And so we'll be eagerly exciting, here for Ante Up the Magazine, looking for a Floridian to win this thing.
That's awesome, man. And I actually got in a roundabout way, got Schaffel's, or maybe it's Schaffel, I'm not sure how to pronounce the name, but
sure.
I got his cell phone number, so we'll be talking to him pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about that. It's always great to have local people in the, and also big names, too. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll try to get him here on the Ante Up PokerCast and figure out what he's doing to prep to take down Phil Ivey.
Absolutely.
Anybody can actually prep for that anyhow.
Now, speaking of Ivey, is it true that if he wins the whole thing, he still can't be player of the year?
Well, I wanted to check. I was hoping it was going to be in the notes that Nolan Dallas sent us this morning, but it wasn't. But previously, when Lissandro was eliminated from the main event, and he had a pretty decent run, they said that he was a lock to win the player of the year now.
That just can't be right.
And it seems weird to me that, Ivy has 2 bracelets already. I mean, Lissandro had 3, but, if he wins the main event, that's 3 bracelets, including probably the most important one, I'm guessing, right?
I would think.
So, hopefully we'll get more clarification on this lately. Maybe it was just a mistake early on in the points. But, also, this is the first year. I mean, last year they didn't count the main event in the player year points, so...
Right.
I don't know what the formula is, but I got to think there's a little extra weighting for applied to the main event, but who am I to say?
Maybe Lissandro has more total caches that would, I don't know. It just seems so weird to me that the main event winner who has 2 other braces the same year, it's just not right, man. And if it is right, WTF is what I got to say to that. Because there's something wrong with the system then. But, some other good stories out of the main event, too. Dennis Phillips, last year, the big St. Louis Cardinal hat-wearing, truck-driving 10,000 fans in the stadium. Player had finished third last year, and he goes all the way to 45th this year. It's reminiscent of Raymer,
yeah,
when he won it and then finished like in the top whatever it was, top 70 or whatever. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I tell you, Dennis Phillips gets a lot of knocks. And when we were out in Vegas, we heard a number of people talking about how this guy's a luck box and not a good player. Well, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
unless you finish third and then 45th the next year, I think you can quit bashing Mr. Phillips now.
That's a great
run. The guy clearly has some game here.
Absolutely. And you know what, too? Peter Eastgate went deep, too, the defending champion.
Yeah, yeah.
It was looking for a while there, like he might actually go all the way and make a real run at it. So it was pretty interesting. And, I'm starting to wonder, too. They always say how hard it is to repeat, but really, you got to think, like, let's just say Phil Ivey takes it down this year. Is anyone really going to bet against him to even make a run the next year? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's impossible anymore for someone to win it back-to-back when you look at these runs by Phillips, Eastgate, and even Raymer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty awesome.
Absolutely. And I wonder what the kind of side action Ivey has on this, too. I mean, are a number of people crying right now and jumping off buildings already just for the fact that he made the final table?
I mean, exactly. Think about the millions he's already won just for making the two bracelets. And now, you know, main event, I mean, God, he's got to be just rolling in it.
Well, speaking of Mr. Ivey, there were a couple rumors during the season, the series so far, that on the first day he wasn't feeling very well. He obviously got picked for the featured table because, you know, well, he's Phil Ivey,
yeah,
and ESPN knew he was going to be at the final table eventually. the rumors were that Phil told ESPN he didn't want to be at the featured table and asked for a new table to be put there. It sounds like that was a rumor,
right,
that not even Phil Ivey has the power to kick himself off the final table. But, you know, it was interesting brought up. Daniel Negreanu has been writing a column in the USA Today this year and kind of briefly mentioned that. But he also made a point about whether amateurs, if you're a pro, whether you really want to be at the featured table, because he thinks that amateurs play better when they're on TV.
Hmm.
He says it's a lot easier for the amateurs when they're in Amazon table 130 blue, tucked back in the bowels of the Amazon room where only the Poker News live update kids are around, to donk off their chips or make some bad moves because they know no one's really watching other than the other eight people at their table and the dealer. But when you put them under the lights, on ESPN, all their friends are going to be home and probably seeing them make this donktacular play. They don't make those donktacular plays.
Well, the other thing, too, is there's more pressure on the pros because the pros are always the ones who are most concerned with being bluffed on TV or being outplayed by an amateur. So I think maybe that balances the scales there a little bit. I think the pros might play below par, and by below par, I mean not under par. I mean, they don't play well. And the amateurs tend to tighten up a little bit on TV and concentrate a little more because they know they're at the feature table with a pro who's good, and that's why they're at the feature table. So, yeah, I think it's a good point. I think amateurs probably do play better on TV, you know, except for the occasional donk who, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. But, I mean, I have to agree there. I think that they probably do play better on TV.
Yeah, probably. I just had never thought about that. But it's interesting to see kind of the mindset the pros have. I mean, they really analyze every part of this World Series when they're playing,
yeah,
you know, which I guess makes them pros.
Hey, should we have said at the beginning of this segment that, you know, hey, spoiler alert. We forgot to tell you that. We're going to tell you everything that's happened in the main event.
we haven't spoiled anything, really.
That's true.
We have not told anybody the winner of this year's World Series of Poker main event.
That is true.
we'll try to do that in November. I think by the schedule, I don't think we'll even have a shot at that. So.
Oh, man.
But, you know, not everybody can go out and play the World Series main event like today's guest, Ray Foley. But there is another terrific tournament series that everyone can play, Chris.
Yeah, you won't be on TV, but you'll feel just as important.
Yeah, you're playing on the computer, which is like a TV.
That's right. So, it's like a screen. You kind
yeah,
of
you
see
can put a webcam on there and, yeah, make your own final table action there. Of course, we're talking about Apes, and last night was the event number 6, Stud 8. A game that I think you and I both thought we were going to own.
Yeah, I can't.
He also had a special guest, one of the poker room managers from around Florida, who was bragging to me about his stud 8 gameplay last night. And when the tournament was over, the three of us had a combined cash of 0.00.
It probably is the worst moment in my poker career last night. I mean, it was just brutal. I played so bad. I mean, I'm so embarrassed. And then there were other times, too, where, you know, just cooler hands happened for me. That's my night wrapped up. I mean, I would make, like, three aces, and someone would make a straight, or I would, you know, someone else would make three kings when I make aces up. You know, it was just like that. You know, if I make a low, someone make a better low, or I just played so bad. Or I'd have, like, a huge amount of outs for the river and have to go the whole way, and none of them would come out in the end. And at the end, I just said, you know what, screw it. I had ace, king, queen, and I just put it all in and made a pair of aces.
That's a good two-way hand. Yeah,
I know. Nice. I just gave up at the end. I played so bad that I knew – I mean, I was literally all in once with nothing and made, like, runner-runner aces to survive one hand. That's how bad I was playing. I just and it was my favorite event, too. You know what, Scott? I have to admit, I totally forgot that Apes was last night until like an hour beforehand. I was like, oh, wow. My God, it's tonight Apes? And I had to look at our website, anteupmagazine.com/apes, and check it out. And sure enough, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm playing stud 8 tonight. So I'll blame it on that. I'll blame it on not being in the right frame of mind. How's that?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I did not forget about Apes. In fact, I was texting this poker room manager in Florida back and forth. We were doing a little trash talking. But, you know, we got to Vegas late for the free roll, so we didn't enter the free roll. And normally my MO is, after I get booted from the free roll, which I always do, I immediately register for the event.
Yeah.
So I was a little off, but I remember today, I'm like, oh, I got to go register for Apes, right? So I did, I thought. And, of course, I'm sitting there watching TV, waiting for the little table to pop up. And next thing I know, I'm like, hey, it's 9:01. Where's my table? So I frantically, I don't know what happened. I thought I registered, but I don't remember ever typing in the password. So I guess I just thought I registered and didn't put the password in. But so I was a late addition to the tournament.
Oh, man.
So that's what I blame on going out.
We all have our reasons, buddy. We all have our reasons.
But somebody that does not need an excuse is X-the-law-X.
Yes.
Which sounds just as bad as it is to type. But that's the name that Don Rollins from Charlotte, North Carolina goes by. He took down the banana, the monkey, the whole ball of wax last night. And a pretty good heads up with somebody like Spank Pup or something like that, another cool name. But Don was very excited about winning, and he took the time to call the hotline. Let's listen to what our new champion, Don Rollins, has to say.
Scott and Chris, great game last night. Structure really rewarded some patient play, if you don't mind staying up till after 2 a.m. to see it through. I want to congratulate Stank Pup. I was hitting some hands, and he laid down some very good second best several times. As for the banana, chip it. This is the law. Signing off. Till next time.
See, now, this is awesome because – you know, not only does he call in, but because he called in and won the banana, he saves us money on shipping.
That's right.
Because we're going to make it our hotline call of the week, and we're going to send him a card protector from PokerFaces.tv.
Yeah, absolutely. How's that? You know, there's always a little extra room in the Apes winner's box. And so, hey, you know, we'll just tuck it. Well, you know, I'll kind of move the monkey's arm around a little bit more and squeeze one of the nuts card protectors or something like that from PokerFaces.tv in there, and it'll be a little snug. So
awesome way to save us money, man.
It's a threefer, Don.
We appreciate it, Don. Well, our next event is No Limit Hold'em Rebuy, $1.10 to enter. It's on August 12th, and the free roll is going to be pretty interesting. It's July 29th, and we have no idea how that's going to work.
Yeah, we've got a lot of questions already about how they're going to give out seats. I mean, because it's a little different than the other ones where, you know, it's a 550 buy-in or 1020. So are they just going to give away, 154 seats worth a dollar each or $1.10? So I don't know. I guess we'll find out that day. I don't know. It's a free roll. Maybe they will do rebuys in the free roll. Who knows?
That's what I'm wondering too. Well, I wonder if you can do that. If you get knocked out, can you pay $1.10 and keep playing in a free roll? That would be sick.
That would be, because then you're paying $1.10 to win $1.10 seat. So I'm guessing that's not going to happen.
Oh,
but if it does, I can't wait to see all those interlopers from Kazakhstan, you know, chucking dollars into this thing, realizing they're not winning anything.
That is easily the most exciting free roll in the history of poker right there. Well, again, congratulations to Don. I know he's been listening to our show for a while, and it's really good to have him win. And, you know, something about, you know, how you had the chance where you it was 9:01 and you're like, I thought I registered, and then you didn't, and you got to play anyway. I had a problem. Do you remember the PPA's petition, where if you signed the petition, they would give you a free roll during the National Poker Week? Do you remember hearing about that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I immediately went to their site and clicked the link and filled out the petition and used my correct email address as with my PokerStars account, and nothing came. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'm gonna check my cashier thing and look for the ticket, you know. So I checked the cashier thing, no ticket. So I was like, all right, well, maybe I gotta register. Maybe I have to go to one of the tournaments and click register, and then it'll say you do have a ticket, and click it, and no ticket. So I'm like, all right, something happened here. Let me contact Stars, because I know they got fantastic support, and they really do. It's phenomenal how fast they get back to you. And so I sent them an email saying, hey, you know, my name's Chris, and my thing is this and that and that, and I signed up for this petition, and I filled out everything I'm supposed to, and I need a ticket. I want to play in one of the free rolls during National Poker Week. I want to feel like I'm a part of Americana.
Americana.
sir, it takes 24 to 48 hours upon when you signed up. After that, you should have a ticket. If not, contact us. I said, okay. So in the meantime, I get an email from a rival site, Full Tilt Poker, and it says, congratulations! You have been picked to play in our free rolls for National Poker Week. Just sign up and play, and you're all set to go. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is weird. Okay, cool. So I go to sign up for it, and I get distracted. Maybe it was something to do with the magazine or whatever. But anyway, I don't play, and I don't sign up. But about 20 minutes later, I get an email from Full Tilt, and it says, we are so sorry. You are not selected to play in the petition free rolls. We don't know how this happened, but if you want to, you can click this link and sign up, and then we will send you a ticket. So I click the link, and it goes to the exact same page that PokerStars had sent me. So obviously I had already signed the petition, and what happened was my email address, I think, it said I had signed the petition. So somehow Full Tilt got that info, I think is what happened, and thought that I had signed up through them and gave me the thing, and then realized I didn't sign up through them. So I didn't get the Full Tilt ticket. I go back and check, you know, make sure it was 24, 48 hours later, and it was. I go back and check my PokerStars account, and I didn't get the ticket. So now here we are, National Poker Week, and I can't play in any free rolls, but I signed a petition twice. Why can't I play? What is it? They don't want me to play in this thing. I don't know what's going on. But both sites said that I could play, and then I couldn't play. What's the deal? I'm waiting for some funny comment from you to make me feel better.
How about that you've spent probably $27 worth of time trying to sign up for a free roll? How do you like them apples?
So now I've lost money trying to play a free roll.
It's a free roll.
I know, but I mean, you know, I signed the petition. I got it coming to me, right? I mean,
well, here's the thing. You can go on July 29th, about 5 p.m. Eastern, and I will give you a free entry in the Apes satellite.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
And you don't have to sign up any petitions, no gimmicks or gimmicks. You just show up, and I'll hook you up.
You'll give me the password?
That's right. That's right.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, while you were spending countless hours trying to get into a free tournament, I was down in Sarasota Kennel Club, trying to grind out a living like I do. And, you know, this is interesting because one of the great things about our, what we do in driving around Florida is all the rooms are a little bit different. The clientele is a little different. Depends, you know, because Florida's a huge state, right?
Yeah.
And, well, Sarasota is obviously a little more affluent community than some other ones. And, you know, the people there, for whatever reason, they just seem, I don't know, a little cut above some other rooms, right?
Yeah.
You know, well-groomed, nice, friendly, right? So so I'm playing in the tournament, and the guy directly to my right is, like, snotting the entire time I'm at his table.
Hey, please explain that.
You know, it was like sniffling, sneezing. He's got some kind of either allergic reaction or a cold or some other kind of ailment that requires noises coming out of his nose.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure it wasn't like he just thought he was better than everybody else.
Oh, no. Oh,
okay.
No. Not like you. Like somebody that's, you know, he's got a medical condition, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, I felt bad for this guy because, you know, I've got allergies and I'm battling that. And there's nothing worse than being at the poker table and having the sniffles.
Yeah.
Because, one, you're feeling bad for yourself. But, two, you know you're bugging people. So so I kind of gave this guy a little rope. It's just unfortunate, you know?
Yeah.
That I get drawn right the seat right next to this guy, right?
Yeah.
So, fortunately, the table breaks. And I'm like, woohoo! So I move to my next table. And I sit down. And I smell the foulest thing I think I probably smelled in my entire life. Coming from either the guy on my right or my left, I'm not sure which, but extreme close proximity to my seat. And here's the thing, you know, if you're Tim Robbins and you've got to crawl through 500 yards worth of the most disgusting filth that you can imagine, it's one thing because you're trying to get out of prison. But I'm quite certain this guy was smelling like that because he just decided he didn't want to wipe today.
Oh, my God.
And I just can't fathom that.
Oh, man.
So I have snotty at one table, and I've got stinky at this table, all right?
Yep.
So, you know, I just push my chips in. I'm getting out of this tournament, all right? At least that's the story I'm doing now because I, you know, lost. But the story I'm spinning now is that I want to get away from stinky. So I jump into a sit-and-go, right?
Yep.
It's a six-handed sit-and-go, all right? So that means there are six players, in case there's any confusion. We knock one of the players out, so that we're down to five, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then we knock one more player out, right?
Yep.
Okay, so now it's four. Four-handed, right?
Yeah.
Four players left. Dude to my left gets up to take a smoke break.
Hmm.
Not
the wisest thing to do in a four-handed sit-and-go.
Four-handed sit-and-go goes to take a smoke break.
Oh,
not during
man.
A break. There's no break, right?
Right?
So he comes back, and he's like, hey, did I miss a hand? And like, you missed four. I missed four hands? And the dealer's like, well, you know, we are four-handed. Oh, wow. So he sits down, and oh, my God, he reeks. Like he is a six-foot-tall Marlboro. So this wasn't a smoke break. This was a pack break.
Man.
And so now he reeks. So here's the thing, Chris. I go down to Sarasota, one of the classiest, nicest clientels. I sit next to Snotty, Stinky, and Smokey, three of the seven dwarves. Snow White, nowhere to be found. What gives?
How do you know that Stinky didn't have like some sort of medical condition that made him smell that way?
He could have. But then you go out and you buy copious amounts of baby powder and just roll around in it before you go. And it had to be better than the foulness coming from Stinky.
This reminds me of the time you were playing at Tampa Bay Downs and you sat next to the guy who stunk so bad you told him to get some clean.
Yeah, well, that guy was just, like, fat and sweaty. This guy was, like, it was, like, feces.
Ugh.
It was nasty.
But the good news is, though, is that you made some money in that sit-and-go, right?
Yeah, that's true. So I went home a winner, and of course I went home a winner with a story. And, you know, I tweeted all that, too, so I'm kind of getting into the Twitter thing finally now. You know, the good thing about Twitter is it has no smells or sounds.
Oh, man. Well, from there, we need to move on to our Annie Up news desk.
Online Poker Payment Processor Account Services Corp. of San Diego has asked a federal judge to return $14 million the court has frozen from them. The court, of course, has no comment, as it has through this entire case.
Of course.
Wow. I mean, they're saying the money is not taken correctly, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
U.S. investment bank Goldman Sachs says it believes that online gambling will eventually be legalized in the United States, and several European gaming companies could benefit.
Well, sure.
And I think we all thought that this was going to happen, but now you've got one of the pinnacles of financial industry, and a research report adds a little more chutzpah to it, because they're not. There are investors that are hanging on the words here.
Yeah,
so the Goldman Sachs, I mean, they've got a gazillion people out there analyzing this. So
awesome.
Interesting. And finally this week, Chris, a little nugget you dug up.
Yeah.
Our own little news hound. The World Poker Tour has exchanged financial information with parties that may be interested in acquiring the tour, company officials told the Wall Street Journal. Once thought to be worth as much as $700 million, Chris. The company is now worth about $7 million after you account for cash reserves.
I think that you and I could probably buy it if we wanted to.
$7 million, yeah, I don't know. We could probably get that scratched together.
I really don't want the WPT to go away, man. I really hope that it saves itself somehow, either through a sale or whatever. But it's pretty important. I mean, we may make fun of it sometimes, because of the, some of the stuff that happens on there, the accelerated blinds or whatever it is. But I really want the WPT to survive and thrive, man. I hope it turns around.
Well, it was a fascinating story from the Wall Street Journal. I encourage people to follow the link that I'm sure you'll put on antiupmagazine.com/forum. They're looking. They make their money mostly off of TV sponsorship deals.
Yeah.
And when they're going and Steve Lipscomb said, hey, if I'm going out and I'm trying to sell a $5 million TV sponsorship deal to someone, it makes sense that they're like, hey, well, why don't we just chuck in the extra $2 million and buy the whole company? So
exactly.
We'll see what happens from this, but interesting.
All right, well, since we already did a hotline clip, we're going to move on to our mailbag.
But we should remind folks that they can call 813-448-1120. You don't have to win apes.
That's right. That's right.
You get extra swag from the hotline.
That's right. You can call our hotline. And please, we're encouraging you. Call us. We want to hear from you.
This week's mailbag comes from Mike Silvera, he was one of the lucky folks, Chris, that qualified for last night's Apes event in the free roll.
Right.
All right, played well, got through that that big field. And so anyhow, he writes us and lets us know that he qualified, but his wife wants to see Harry Potter that night. And, of course, you got to do what the wife has to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he says there's a combination of not wanting poker to dictate his life and the necessity to keep the wife happy, both very important things.
Yes.
But he says, unfortunately, Poker Stars won't let him unregister. Is there any way that he can unregister and use it for a future Apes event? Well, Mike, no. No soup for you. this is kind of one of the things when we were battling back about, all the interlopers in here is that the point I was making is, if they want to spend 7 hours trying to get into yet another tournament, more power to them, because they're not going to be able to unregister. You're not going to be able to get that $550 in cash. And, it could be nice to actually apply it to a future Apes event. That's just not the way it's set up. So, if you're going to play in a free roll, playing the free roll, but just know that if you win a seat, we're not going to move the tournament around the Harry Potter schedule, and you're not going to be able to unregister or play another one. So, keep that in mind. Look ahead 2 weeks on the schedule and make sure everything is cool before you play.
So, what's on the swag shelf for him today?
That's a good thing, Mike. You did not play in Stud 8 last night. Hopefully you did see a good movie and made the wife happy. But if the wife is still wanting something else, you can give her a wonderful motorized dealer from the good folks at WheelRDealer.com. I think it's the last one of these on our swag shelf. So it's a limited supply item. So we'll get that out and have some fun with that in your home game, Mike. And check it out at WheelRDealer.com.
Yes, trying to keep your wife happy and not have poker dictate your life. So what do? We send them something for home games. So not only does he not play online, but now he's going to have like guys coming into his house to play poker. It's going to make his wife real happy.
Well, you know, maybe the wife plays too. Maybe she'd be happy that he's playing at home and not at the local card room. How's that?
That's true. you know what? We have a little fun deviation this week with the 1 minute mystery. We're going to do this for a little while. Columbo has decided that instead of showing up at the scene of a crime, he wants the Antiup Nation to ride along with him. So we're going to call this Ride Along with Columbo.
Excellent.
And let's listen to the first part of this.
Greetings. This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is not another one-minute mystery. Welcome to Ride Along with Columbo. In this new and experimental segment, you'll be playing side-by-side with me in the daily 34K. Although following the one-minute mystery format, each week will build on last week's decision and move us deeper into the tournament. And I'll try and find a good theme song. But right now, welcome to level 1 of a multi-table tournament featuring 1,500 entries. Under the gun folds, under the gun plus 1 makes it 60 to go. Mid-position folds, hijack calls, cutoff calls, button calls, small blind calls, and looking down in the big blind, we see 2-2. Not really a decision here. We'll just call and see a flop, a 3 of hearts, 10 of diamonds, 2 of spades. First to act, the small blind checks. How do you want to play it?
See, now I like this. I like the idea of you know, trying to solve a case and go a long time with him, you know, because, you know, cases aren't solved overnight, you know what I mean? They're not solved in a week or two. They take some time to solve sometimes, and this seems intriguing to me.
Yeah, and what's more intriguing about it is that we have plenty of time to solve this mystery while hanging out in Columbo's awesome car. I'm totally calling shotgun. I'm controlling that stereo, man.
The other thing, too, is that every week now we'll have some sort of resolution. There won't be a week where, you know, you're not going to have something. You're always going to get presented something that answers something that happened the week before. Whereas the other way, you know, it was you got the problem and then you solved it. But then the next week you're waiting for a new problem. This time there's always going to be some sort of resolution, which is kind of cool. So it's always something to comment on. I really like this new setup. So what do you think? What are you going to do?
There's always going to be a new problem, too, just like work.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks,
like life. Just like life.
Well, you know, I'm going to keep my comments to myself, as we did per the suggestions of our listeners. But I have locked them in the Antiup safe.
Me too.
So I have already formulated my opinions, so I will not react to the folks on the forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum. Mm-hmm. And I know you have too, so we'll release our donktacular analysis next week. How's that?
That's excellent.
And that's not all. Buy today and we'll send you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free, free, free.
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
You know, Scott, every year we always watch the World Series eagerly, hoping to see maybe one of our Antiup Nationals might do well. And
absolutely.
You know, a couple of years ago, we had a local player do pretty well, Don Baruch. He won the shootout. And he claimed to be one of the Antiup Nationals at the time. Not so sure he actually was, but it was nice to have a local guy win. And in the same World Series, we had, of course, Lee Childs go to the final table of the main event. But this year, I think we truly have an Antiup National who has listened to the show for a long time finally come through with a bracelet.
A bracelet? A big bracelet.
A big bracelet, and he had a big opponent to get through to win it as well. So first, let's say hello to Wired Pair, otherwise known as Ray Foley. Ray, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, we also ran into you during the main event, and you let us hold the beautiful gold bracelet. How heavy is that thing to play with?
It's pretty light when you put it on. I didn't have any troubles.
And Chris, I thought you handled it really well when the security guard tracked you down and tackled you. You gave it up pretty quickly there.
Yeah, I wasn't really trying to steal it or anything. I was just so elated that my feet became light as air and I started running with it. It was so wonderful.
And we appreciate the fact that Ray didn't press any charges against you.
That's true. That's
very nice of you, Ray. Ray, tell us a little bit about this this run. I mean, it was a huge field, more than, 2,700 people in this thing. That's an accomplishment, even if it's a free roll, let alone a buy-in at the World Series.
Yeah, it was definitely a big field. The first day, I had a pretty good table draw. Obviously, with 2,700, chances are I'm not going to have too many big names at my table. So day one on my first table, there's actually Havaz Khan. Not Havad, but Havaz, who I think he won or came in second in a WPT event.
Right.
He was the only player at my first table I recognized. And he got abused by the table every time he raised people three bet him, so he was out pretty quickly. So
that
helped me build some chips early on with my with the first table. And then when I got through day one, I think I had like 54,000, and I got a really good table draw for day two. The only person that had, I think I had 64,000 actually. I was a chip leader at 64,000. Another guy had like 60. He was directly on my right, and then nobody else at the table had more than like 32.
Wow.
And again, no big name pros. So immediately I won a pot. The short stack moved in, and I had ace queen. I think he had nines, and I won a pot and chipped up like 75K immediately.
Wow.
And I won a huge pot with ace king versus 9-10. The guy was trying to make a move. He shipped. I three bet, and he shipped over the top of me after thinking about it for a long time. So my ace king beat his 9-10, and then I was up like 150 grand, and I kind of sat there. I kind of sat at that level for a while, and then towards the end of the night, I got moved to another table, and this girl, her name was Lillian, I think, took a huge pot off me. With she ended up she was bluffing with the best hand, but she had raised. I three better with ace king, and the flop came queen high. She checked to me, and I let out, and she shipped all in over the top of me. So I folded my ace king, and later on she told me she had 10-10, which I was very surprised when she made the play. But so that knocked me down like half my stack, and then that table I had a tough time getting any traction, and then I got moved to another table, and I'd been playing with Nam Lee for a little while, and this is where the tournament really turned for me. I was like at 140,000 at this point, and blinds are like 5K, 10K with a $1,000 ante.
Okay.
And I went from 140,000 to like 1.3 million in about 15 minutes.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got to the new table, and Nam Lee opened. I forgot what amount he opened to. He opened like 25 or 30, I think. And it folded me, and I had kings. And so I had 140K. I had kings in the small blind or big blind. So I three bet him. And he thought about it, and he said, "I wish I hadn't played with you for a couple hours. Otherwise, I would have called." So he folds, and I think he had ace queen, he told me.
Wow.
So that chipped me up. A couple hands later, I'm at like 220,000 before the hand starts, somewhere thereabouts. And I pick up 6-6 in the cutoff. Was I in the cutoff? No. I might have been. I think I was. Can't remember exactly, but I raised it up. Guy three bets me. I made it 25. He made it 65. I only had 220 back, so it was 40,000 to me. And so I was thinking, if I jam here, I know he's going to call me. So I'm just going to flat him. I'm going to stop and go home, and hopefully he's got ace king or something and he misses. But I was going to stop, and I was going to basically shove any flop. So the flop comes XX6. So I'm like, well, all right, change of plan. I check, he bets, I check, raise them all, and he calls. I think it was a jack high flop. And he has 10-10, so that doubles me up to like 520,000. Then like four or five hands later, I am in the big blind and the chip leader of the tournament. I think there's like 40 people left at the time. Her name's Mary Jones. She won the ladies event a couple years ago, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm in the big blind. She's under the gun. She makes it 30,000. Blinds are still 5'10". So she makes it 30,000, folds around to me in the big blind, and I have ace-king suited. And this one, I've got like 520,000. So I don't want to get too crazy. I'm out of position, and we're pretty deep. So I just flat call for the 30,000. And I've got ace-king of clubs, and the flop comes down. Eight of clubs, nine of clubs, deuce of spades. So at this point, I'm pretty much figuring if it gets in, it gets in. And, you know, I know I'm pretty much a money favorite any hand here that she could have. So I check. She makes it 50,000. I check raise to 150, and she moves in, and I call. And the turn's a three of spades, and the river's a jack of clubs, so I make my flush, and I double up to, like, 1 million.
Wow.
Hmm. Then the very next hand, I'm in the small blind. She's in the big blind. Folds around to me again. And she had pocket queens that hand. Sorry, I didn't say what she had.
Okay.
So folds around to me again. I've got ace-king of spades this time. So she's got, like, 200-something thousand left. So I just say I'm all in. Figured I'm going to pick up the blinds, and she snap calls me. She calls, so I'm like, flips over queen again.
Oh, my God.
So I had ace-king suited twice in a row. She had queens twice in a row, and I hit a king on the flop, and went from chip leader out of the tournament in two hands.
Holy shit.
And I went from within a round, like within maybe a round of, you know, 10 hands, I went from basically 200,000 to 1.3 million.
God.
So that set me up for... And then I went to another, then I got moved to another table, and I was kind of up and down there, but I ended about where I was when I got to that table, which was, and then another guy won a pot right before the end of the night, so I went to day three as second in chips with 1.3 million, and the other guy had 1.6. So day three comes, and I've got a pretty good table draw. Brandon Cantu, unfortunately, is on my left, but he's got a very small stack. So I know that he's not going to be really screwed around too much with his stack, so if I open, I know if he comes over the top, he's got a real hand. He doesn't really have enough to seal for me. So I immediately dropped to like from 1.3 to like 770,000, like within the first hour and a half of day three. And then I build it back up a little bit here and there, and I can't remember exactly if I want any big pots there, but we get down to 18 and we redraw, and Brandon Cantu is two to my right.
Wow.
So, which is good.
Yeah, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, so then a little bit later, Alex Jacob gets moved to our table, and he gets moved one to the right of Cantu. Man. So they're both on my right when we're down to 18 players. And then I built some chips. I won some decent pots off Brandon where I value bet on a couple times, and he called me down. So then we redraw at 10, and I get seat 6, Alex Jacob seat 5, Brandon Cantu seat 4. So
oh, man.
I get like a dream draw for the final table.
Wow.
Yeah, and you probably couldn't see Brandon Cantu over Alex's hair there too.
Yeah, it was difficult sometimes, but and the rest of the table was not wasn't very strong. So I was anytime they folded, pretty much I was pretty much opening, just trying to pick up the blinds and annies. I mean, I probably opened like 70% of the pots where I knew that they weren't coming in at all.
Jeez.
So that helped me a lot. And then Brandon was very, very, I mean, he was super active, as I'm sure you guys have seen him play before. You know how he plays. And Alex actually slowed him down quite a bit because he started moving in on him when Brandon was opening. So Brandon opened a couple times in a row, and then Alex would move in on him. Alex did it like 3 or 4 times, and that got Brandon to stop opening, and that allowed me to open more. So then I got to pick up more chips. So when we went to the final nine, I was a chip leader at 2.8 million, and I didn't really have any major confrontations. I had eight. I ran eights into kings once, which knocked me down to like 1.9 million, and then I think that was my low point at the final table. And then four-handed, Cantu opened, Jacob shoved, and I had jack-jack. I called. Brandon folded, and Alex had ace-four, I think.
Oof.
Ace-three or ace-four. So my jacks held, and that made me like chip leader, like 5 million with three of us left. And then And then, like, two or three hands later, Brandon and the guy's name was Waymu, I think. They got it all in with King 10 versus King 9 on a King High flop. And Brandon won the pot, so it was, went to heads up. He had 7 million, I had 5 million.
Wow.
And we didn't play very long heads up. The first, I don't know, maybe first 10 hands or so, like the 10th hand or so, I picked up ace 7. I raised from the button. He re-raised. I shoved. He called. He had ace queen. And so that was for my tournament. luckily the board double paired, so we chopped the pot.
Wow.
And then he kind of I was trying to play small ball with him, and he was pretty much destroying me. He took basically a million chips off me, like within 10 or 15 hands. So at this point we're at 8 million to 4 million, and I am on the button. I pick up pocket tens. I make it 300,000. The blinds are 60-120 with a 20,000 in, I think. And he moves all in, so I snap call him with my 10s, and he's got king 9. And the flop comes king high.
Oh.
And at that point, I'm like, well, I guess, you know, at that point, I'm kind of resigning my fate. Like, well, I think, you know, it was a good run. Second place is still pretty good. It's still $400,000. And then the dealer peels off a 10 on the turn.
Wow. Nice.
Oh, God.
So we flip chip position, so now I'm up 2-1. And then a few hands later, he raises from the button, and I just call from the big blind with queen jack. Flop comes jack 9-5, I think. I check. He bets 300,000. At this point, I think he's got like 3.3 million back. So he bets 300,000. I move all in, and he thinks about it for a while. He goes, "I don't think I can fold top pair here," and he calls. He's got jack 7. And the board bricks out, and next thing I know, I have a gold bracelet. $1,000.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. 657,969 clams. After taxes, that's about $78. So what are you going to do with that fortune?
I'm just going to get a good steak dinner, and that'll cover the $78, and Uncle Sam and I will be straight.
But you're working for a living still, right? I know you've contemplated doing poker full time.
Tomorrow's my last day.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Oh,
so
cool.
You're making that plunge.
Yep, I'm gonna try to start grinding online full time, and then I'll probably play some live events throughout the year, depending on where I think I have good spots and whatnot.
Well, don't try to make a living at Apes, because you finished 43rd last night.
Yeah, my little two pair were no good.
So. Of course, we should say 43rd is better than Chris and I did last night.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely better than us.
But you've done very well out at the World Series, from what I understand, right? You've at the time you won your bracelet, you had played 7 tournaments and cash in 4 of them, right?
I cashed in 4, and all my cashes were 22nd or better.
Better, yeah. So
1,400 or better. So.
Have you been encouraged to play more with that kind of record? I mean, obviously you're going to be playing a lot more now that you've got a lot more free time, but, I mean, that's just an amazing record for those big fields.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd like to think it's all me, but I'm sure there's, you know, obviously variance is playing a part in there someplace. But I don't know. I seem to do well in the large fields for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because I'm patient or more patient than other people, or, you know, and part of it is just not getting, you know, not running kings into aces, or, you know, getting cold deck here and there. So, you know, I think it's a combination of both skill and luck, obviously, and being on the right side of long-term variance.
I remember there was a funny story, too, about your buddies who are out there with you at the series, and then you made day 2, so you had to stick around, but they went home, and then, boom, you're at the final table, and they fly back. What was that like?
Yeah, I think that story got a little misconstrued, but the gist of it was pretty much right, but not exactly. So my brother, we have a league, and we send 9 guys out each year to play in a $2,000 event. That's how I got started playing at the World Series. So my brother's out there, he's part of the league, and then another buddy of mine was out there. Everyone else had already gone home because we played the 2K on Thursday. So they were out there. We were supposed to fly home Sunday night, which was day two of the 1500. And at dinner break, my buddy called his wife, and he's like, you know, I'm thinking about, actually, my buddy's Carbide X, he's the guy that won the banana.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, he's talking to his wife. He's like, well, you know, if he makes a deep run, you know, should I stay? And she's like, well, I don't know, you know. He hadn't been, because he was there for like a week or something like that. So they talk, and she's like, yeah, you can stay. So this is at dinner break, so I assume he's staying. And then I go back to play, and I see my brother like at 10 o'clock or something. Or I go to talk to him at 10 o'clock because he was pretty much railing me the whole time. And I said, you know, where's Dave? He's like, well, Dave went home. And so apparently he couldn't find a flight for like less. He couldn't change his flight for like less than $400.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
So he's like, eh. And at that point, when at the time that he had to leave to go to the airport, you know, there's still 100 some people left, so he doesn't know, you know. And I didn't have a huge stack or anything. So he's like, I'm just gonna fly home. So he flies home, and so at the end of the night, I'm second in chips with 26 to play. I call in the morning and I say, well, you know, if you want to fly back out, I'll pay for your plane ticket. So it's like, all right. So he was home for like 3 or 4 hours. went back to the airport, flew back out, and then the whole time I'm thinking, I really hope I don't bust out before he gets here. So he got there about 9:30, I think, at Vegas time. So he was there. The final table had started maybe a half an hour before. So we saw almost all the final table.
That's cool. Great.
So, and my brother just ended up staying the whole time. So.
Now, you obviously either stuck around for the main event or flew back out for the main event, right? Because we saw you playing.
Yeah, I flew home Tuesday. They had the bracelet ceremony, so I flew home that Tuesday night. And then I flew back out for the main event on Sunday night. Luckily, I flew out Sunday night. And when I registered Sunday night, like 11:30, there was 2,500. So if I would have waited till the morning, I think I would have been shut out.
Yeah,
that's right. It was that final day. Sadly, you didn't win. Was it more because of the distraction of Chris and I playing with your bracelet behind you, or the fact that Shannon Elizabeth was right in your eyesight the entire time that we were watching you?
Yeah, well, she didn't do anything for my chip stack, that's for sure. I think I ended up won it at 18,000. She got knocked out. Well, the funny thing was, you know, the cameras kept coming around like every 10 minutes maybe, 15 minutes to try to get her in a hand. And every time they came around, she never played a hand. At the end of the night, I think after they already announced them, there was like 3 hands till the end of the night because they announced the number of hands. So I think there's 1 hand left, and she gets it all in with ace-king versus the guy's kings. And she gets busted, and there's not a camera in sight. I thought it was kind of funny.
All right, so you've given your notice. Tomorrow's your last day. How nervous are you about trying to make this for a living, especially since, you know, you're leaving the automotive industry, which we know is not really doing very well now anyway. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, is there going to be a threshold where you're going to be like, all right, you know what, this just isn't working enough. I'm not making enough money. I'm going to go back to work kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the money that I won gives me a little cushion,
right?
To do it, you know, because I was kind of talking about doing it. I talked to my wife about doing it before, and you know, we'd kind of said, well, the company I work for is basically we're running out of portfolio, so we're not going to be in business all that much longer, and probably a couple more years.
Wow.
So the plan was, well, if you know, if I get a package, then, you know, I'll get paid 6 months, and then I can use those 6 months to see if this works out.
Yeah.
So now I'll just use that 6 months and use the winnings that I had as the cushion. In the worst case scenario, when things don't work out, then I'll re-enter the workforce. But, you know, my wife works, so we still have health insurance through here and all that stuff. So
excellent.
That always helps as well.
And you have two kids too, right?
Yep, two, a boy and a girl.
So are they walking around school bragging about their dad being a World Series bracelet winner and their friends' dads not being?
Well, they're pretty young, so.
Oh, okay.
Now, was
I like
there
to hold the bracelet, but I don't think they understand the significance of it.
Hey, was there any talk of a deal at the final table? Was there any talk, especially with two big names like that?
Nope.
No.
Chop never came up. I wasn't going to bring it up just because I didn't want to. I thought Brandon had an edge on me already. I didn't want him to think that I was concerned about the money.
Smart.
Right.
So, you know, if he would have brought it up, I certainly would have probably entertained it, but I wasn't going to bring it up. Plus, throughout, you know, when we were playing, you know, if it came up 5-6 hand, I think I probably would have not thought about it just because I had such good position on the table.
Yeah.
With Brandon and Alex on my right. So I thought that, you know, but once we get down to 3 or 4 handed, my positional advantage is negated just because of the number of players that are left.
No, it's not.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, yeah, the talk of the job never actually surfaced.
Okay. So. You know, it's not every show that we have one of our listeners on. So when we do get them on, we always like to ask, how did you find our show, and do you listen often? I know you play Apes pretty regularly. How did that work out?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's probably been 3 years now, maybe. I started listening to a competitive podcast of yours, and at the time I was just looking for poker content, so I just went into to iTunes and just type like poker, and I got a bunch of podcasts that came up, and I listened to, you know, I listened through all of them, and then I picked, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 that I liked, and you guys made the cut.
Awesome.
Awesome. Made the cut.
And I actually got to play when I came home. This is just kind of a side note, but regards to the show, when I came home, they had like a little party for me, and we had a little small tournament, and Columbo was actually there, so that was
excellent.
Oh, that's cool.
There was 2 people from the, oh, actually Carby was there too, so there's 3 people from the Antioch Nation at the party.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, Ray. Well, we appreciate you being with us, and congratulations again on your victory. I know a lot of our listeners would love to have a third voice on the Hand of the Week. Do you got a few minutes to tackle the Hand of the Week with us?
Sure. What's the game?
Well, I picked out a no-limit hold'em here. I figure you're probably pretty good at that, right?
If you would have said, like, Badoosie or something, I would have been a little out of my element.
Yeah, I don't think there's any expert in the world of Badoosie. Certainly not me. But this
cash
one came from
tournament.
Vegas. Yeah. This is a cash right. game. Okay. And it came all the way from Las Vegas. One of our listeners named Adam from Charleston, South Carolina, where he says, that's where the judge says poker is undoubtedly a game of skill, but you're still guilty of gambling. He was out in Vegas playing strip poker at O'Shea's, and before our listeners get too excited, I think we talked about this before, strip poker at O'Shea's is fully closed, and he said considering the table, that's a very good thing, but they had their tables right out there on the strip. I don't know if you saw those, Ray, when you were out there, if you ever got away from the Rio long enough to get up there.
I didn't actually play at them, but I did see him.
But you did see him. All right. You see any cards flying down the strip? That's usually what you see when you get closer because the wind blows them. But it's a 1-2 no-limit cash game. He says a mix of player stacks range from $50 to $350. Our hero has $300. The villain in the hand has about the same. The villain is a early 20s kid complete with hoodie and iPod, proven to be tight and aggressive over several hours. All right. That's the setup.
Okay.
We have an early position limper. The villain is in middle position and raises to what he calls a typical $12. It gets gets to our hero on the baton, and he has ace of spades, 2 of spades.
Okay. I think I just limp here and hope to hit my hand.
I think that's probably a typical response, right, Chris? I'm guessing you're going to do the same thing?
Yeah, if I have position, I would probably, you know, just try to see a nice spade flop or something and then go with it.
Or if there's, you know, or you can take it away if there's not significant action.
Yeah.
Because you got position.
All right, he says most of the flops have seen 3 to 4 players. He's going to flush mine here and calls. The little small blind gets out of the way. Big blind calls. So we have 3 to the flop, $37 in the pot. Flop comes king of spades. I'm sorry?
The original limper folded?
Must have, yeah.
He didn't say must so. Have. He's only 3 to the flop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Big blind villain and our hero.
Okay.
Flop is the king of spades, 7 of spades, 2 of diamonds. So our hero has the bottom pair of a top kicker and a nut flush draw. The big blind checks. The villain bets out $25.
I'm pretty much never folding here.
I know.
So I'd probably put in a raise here.
So what, although, what would you make it, like 75?
Yeah, I'd probably make around 75. I mean, if all the money gets in on the flop, I'm fine with that. With a pair and a nut flush draw, I'm willing to gamble it up. But that doesn't mean my cash game isn't the best one in the world, so my advice may not be all that stellar.
All right, well, our hero says he considered raising, but he didn't want to build a pot with just deuces and a draw. And he said, plus the big blind is still in here, even though the big blind is tight weak. And he's also worried about he says there's fair odds that the villain will come over the top if he raises. All right, so, but you're not worried about getting your stack in here, right?
No, I mean, if he has nothing and I raise, then I take down the pot, right? I get the 75 right. bucks or whatever it's in there, 50 bucks, whatever it is. And if he has something and it gets in. If not, if he just flats me there, then I still have position and I can reevaluate on the turn.
Sounds good.
Most of the time when they flat the flop, they're not going to lead at the turn. They're going to check it back to you on the turn and let you. So you can, a raise there either gets you the pot or potentially gets you to the river for free.
Right.
Yep.
Or you, worst case scenario, you get it all in and you're drawn to the nuts with a pair. I mean, you probably have 13 outs twice. You're probably a money favorite against any hand but a set.
This sounds a lot like the hand you had in the tournament against the lady when you had the clubs.
Well, except I had two overs that hand, too.
Yeah, you had two overs, though. Yeah.
He doesn't have two overs. I had two overs and a flush draw versus a pair and a flush draw. But yeah, they're in terms of money favorite, they're pretty similar.
Similar, yeah.
All right, well,
so, yeah,
I'm
not afraid to get my stack in. Especially if we are deep, you know, if you're 700 big blinds deep or something, then I would say, all right, then you don't want to necessarily get it all in. But
right.
At 150 big blinds, I think I go with it.
Okay. Our hero decides to call. The big blind folds, so there's 87 in the pot. Turn is a 9 of hearts, which our hero says a swing and a miss. The villain pauses briefly and bets 55 into us.
So what's the pot size now? Is like 100?
Yeah, it was 87 before that bet, so it's like 142 now.
140. So he's not even. He's yeah. So now I think it's probably a fold. Because I mean, I think if he his hand. And the other thing is his hand's kind of. If he just calls here, his hand's pretty transparent. If the spade comes on the river, I don't think he's really gonna get paid off.
Right.
So even though he's getting 3-to-1 odds, I don't think he's really getting much implied odds. You know, yeah. if a spade peels off, I don't think the guy stacks off to him. So I think when the 9 comes and the guy leads at the turn, which is why I would have raised the flop. I think he probably has to fold here.
Yeah, because a raise on the flop would have gotten him the river for free. Although I guess a raise and a call.
Well, either got the river for free price. or gets all the money in. One of the two.
Yeah.
All right,
but,
so our...
mean, with that hand, I want to see both turn in the river.
Yeah.
And to me, the best way to do it is to raise the flop.
Yeah.
Right. So. All right, our hero says there's a chance he thinks his villain is bluffing, and there's also a chance he can catch a spade. So he says he doesn't think raising is right, and he doesn't think folding is right, so he calls, but he wonders whether he made a mistake being in this hand at all. I don't necessarily think he had made a mistake being in the hand. I think... obviously, we're in a tough situation now, though.
I don't think, because he's got to call 55 to win 130, 140, whatever
yeah,
140. It is.
That's not even.
He's not even getting 3-to-1. He's a 5-to-1 dog to hit his flush. But you know, he's probably 4-to-1 because if he hits his ace, he's probably good with 2-pair. But I, like I said, the best card that can probably come for him is an offsuit ace, in terms of getting paid.
Yeah.
Because then he makes kind of a disguised 2-pair, and hopefully the guy's got, you know, a bigger ace maybe, or a smaller 2-pair. But neither one of those hands seems entirely likely given the action, and given his table image prior to this.
Well, I'd fold on the turn as well. I think I would.
But like I said, I think the mistake he made was on the flop. I think calling pre-flop's fine, but I think I pop it on the flop, and if it gets in, it gets in. If not, I either win the pot or I see the river for free.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to change Ray Foley's name to Ray Amazing Kreskin Foley, because the river is the ace of hearts. And our hero pauses because he said he only thought he wanted to see a spade, but the offsuit ace was a semi-out that he wasn't sure he liked or not. But as he's thinking about this, the villain cuts two stacks of reds from his stack, pushes out $100, and now it's to us.
I think I just call and roll my cards over. I don't think you're getting called by a worse hand if you raise here.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I don't know how much the iPod kid can't have that much back at this point, right?
Yeah, not at this point, I wouldn't think.
Maybe he's got to probably get 120 back, something like that.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, about 100.
But hey, I still don't think he's probably calling you. I think the odds of him calling you with a worse hand here are probably pretty small. So yeah. I think I just call and roll my cards over and hope it's good.
Yep.
All right, and that's exactly what our hero does. He declares aces up. The villain mucks in disgust, saying, "How could you call me twice with only a deuce?" So we never heard what the villain had, but Adam from Charleston takes down a pretty big pot there with that weird ace on the end that he wasn't looking for.
Feels like king queen. If the guy had
king queen, or maybe I guess he could have queens there. Because the guy never... Well, he's probably not, though. Yeah, king, it does sound like king-queen. Maybe ace-king. No, it can't have ace-king.
No, it can't have
ace-king.
Yeah,
he'd
have ace-king.
Yeah, it's got to be king-queen or queens, maybe. But that queen seems unlikely. I would think he'd slow down when he got called twice.
Yeah.
That's a strange... I'd like to know what he had. I'm curious now.
Well, let's go to O'Shea's and try to find the kid.
Well, I get... He could have been bluffing. He could have had like ace jack and got there on the river with an ace.
Oh yeah.
And then it's no good. But it's either king queen or some a big ace that got there that didn't get in two pair. But we'll never know, right?
I can only guess. All right. Well, thanks Adam for sending that in. In addition to winning that big pot, you will also win a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from Great Poker Hands. .com. Check those out. See where Ace of Spades, Deuce of Spades shows up on those when you get them. And thanks for sending the hand in. And anybody else wants to send a hand on the weekend, it's podcast at antiupmagazine.com. Ray, thanks again for your wonderful analysis there. And best of luck on the new career.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ray. See what happens when you get a good player actually doing the hand of the week.
Hand of the week.
you get like an amazing Kreskin moment. You get great advice. You know, I don't know. Maybe we should have somebody on to do the hand of the week all the time for us, so I could stop looking foolish.
See, that's what I'm doing on the hand of the week is to ensure that there's somebody more foolish than you.
Well, I appreciate it, buddy. You got my back. All right, well, thanks again to Ray for being on the show, and it was another good show. I enjoyed myself thoroughly, especially since I didn't have to do the hand of the week. And all I had to do was sit there and nod along and agree with him like one of those bobblehead dolls in the back of the car. All right, so until next week, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
That was awesome.
Oh, I totally choked. I'm like, literally.